Hello, Steph.
Hey, Nathan.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am.
How's your back?
My back got a little bit funky. So we were at the Mall of America. You did not go on. Oh, my goodness.
I did not stick with the script. It just came to me.
You know what?
I think we have to talk about it.
I think this is us being vulnerable. So, ladies and gentlemen, I jacked up my back on the crazy coaster or whatever it's called at the Mall of America. And Linda has this, like, electronic...
STEM machine
thing that, like, so Steph put this on my back and it was like, bzz, 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 and it kind of helped.
I'm really glad.
And then, but it's still, I'm excited to, I don't want to say excited, but I have a chiropractor appointment tomorrow morning back in Portland. So that will be.
Yeah, you got to catch a flight soon.
I do. Well, I have about an hour.
Oh, okay.
It'll be very quickly once I wrap this up. It might take me that long to wrap up this, pack up this, all this gear.
I mean, with a back injury, who knows how quickly you can move.
Not that bad. It's more like my shoulder. But anyway, I'm kind of a mess here in December, right?
Yeah. Man, how are you feeling about getting your tonsils out?
I know. So the reason that we're doing this, this is a re-release podcast episode because I'm getting my tonsils out on December 16th. So depending on when this comes out, I'll either be... recovering, laying on the couch, or I will be about to go under the knife. I'm not sure, but we're going to give you some of our favorite episodes from the last year so that we don't just go dark for those, I guess it'll be 4 weeks.
I think this is all just an excuse to binge watch some Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian?
On Disney Plus, which
how do you,
you
know about
thought
the Mandalorian
I didn't
is?
Know.
How do you know what that is?
Nathan, do you know who I'm married to?
That's true. That's true. Your husband's a little bit of a... Well, I won't call him a nerd, but...
He's a self-proclaimed nerd.
But you might. So, well, anyway, okay. Anyway, Steph, so what is your favorite episode that you would like people to re-engage with here?
My favorite episode, I went all the way back to season one, episode 28, Four Things StrengthsFinder Cannot Tell Us About a Person.
I like that. I think that came out in like April of 2018 or somewhere around about there. Not that it really matters, but... That's just kind of the nerd I am. Steph, what did you like about it? What are a couple things that stood out?
I really like this episode because we often have people ask us questions looking for these really simple answers to these complex ideas.
Like what kind of questions are you talking about?
People will come to us and say, well, I have intellection. What strengths should I look for in someone to partner with? Or what strengths should someone have who works in sales? And those are fair questions, but CliftonStrengths isn't a fortune teller, and people are infinitely unique. So you can't just look at someone's strengths and determine how it is that they are going to show up in the world. And in this episode, I appreciate that you hear from our founder and president, Brian Shubring, that there are four C's, not to be confused with our team engagement sessions, there's four C's.
So many C's to keep track of here, right?
So many C's. But in this episode, Brian names context, culture, character, and consistency as four things that impact how we show up and live into our strengths. And so when we get these complex questions, we sometimes look to these four C's to encourage people to think about how context, culture, character, and consistency can influence how people show up in their strengths.
It shows how complex and, as you said, how unique people are. So what do you want us to specifically be paying attention to here in this episode as we re-listen to it for the fifth time, tenth time? I don't know how many times folks are listening to
these. You're really devoted to listening to these episodes.
Perhaps the first.
Yeah, that's a great question, Nathan. This episode provides a great opportunity to think about maybe some assumptions that you have made about other people based on their strengths. And maybe that's something really specific. If you are someone in the position to hire someone else and you made an assumption based on someone's five strengths, well, maybe what are some questions that you could ask that person around those four C's to give you more insight into how it is that they may show up and live into those strengths? Because we really want to use this tool to help people feel known, understood, and not boxed in, but instead give them a platform to stand on. And finally, think about how the context, culture, character, and consistency of your background have shaped how your strengths manifest in your life. And then just take a moment to reflect on what you learned from thinking through those four C's.
That's great stuff. I almost think that this is maybe a yearly activity that we should do, or a bi-yearly or something. So thanks for bringing this up again. Thanks for quasi filling in as a podcast host while I am, you know,
binge out, watching The Mandalorian.
Thank you for blowing my cover. So when are we back with new episode stuff?
We will come back with new episodes on January 13th of 2020.
And we've got some great things in store for 2020. So enjoy this rebroadcast of the four things StrengthsFinder cannot tell us about a person.
I'm Steph Walland.
And I'm Nathan Freeberg.
Thanks for listening.
Hey, we did it.
We did it.
What I've learned is that strengths tell us a lot about what a person is bringing to a situation, how a person is showing up in a relationship, what their potential capacity is for whatever the job might be. But I'm also learning this, that strengths are also not answering a lot of questions. And there's more of this unknown that we are really wrestling with now at Leadership Vision, is trying to understand what are strengths really saying about someone. And we say over and over again, it tells us how you approach something. It tells us how someone might show up, when they might show up, with whom they could work with. But there are a lot of things that are now being asked of us that we just have to say, StrengthsFinder does not answer that question. And it's important for us to understand some of the elements that StrengthsFinder does not address. And people want that, but we're saying it doesn't have that answer.
You are listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, where we share our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. My name is Nathan Freeberg, and today on the podcast, Brian Schubring and I are going to be talking about the four things strengths results cannot tell us. As Brian said at the top of the show, many people want StrengthsFinder to give us answers to these things, but unfortunately, it can't. Specifically, strengths do not reveal a person's context, their culture, their character, or how consistently they show up.
StrengthsFinder reveals to us a lot of things, and I'm still saying that it's extremely helpful for us to reference strengths when we are interacting with individuals. However, when we look at these four words, context, culture, character, and consistency, StrengthsFinder does not reveal to us any dominant clues on how a person was raised, what cultural influences were shaping who they are today. Where might their best contextual and cultural fit be? And like you're saying, strengths on a page and even in a conversation doesn't reveal to us the characterological consistencies within a person. Like, are they out for good? Are they out for some gray area?
Are they selfish? Are they
selfish,
self-seeking?
Self-motivated, self-promoting, in certain contexts that could be okay and actually looked for. But we have no idea of really determining their character and consistency. When you look at someone's strengths, you don't know how consistent that strength shows up. It could be a strength that is always operational, or it could be something that is very situational, and consistency is key.
We'll be right back.
At Leadership Vision Consulting, we have spent 23 years helping individuals explore the depth and dimension of their personal strengths and have helped hundreds of teams build positive culture. We're excited to now announce our new online membership platform that brings together the resources, community, and motivation that you need to grow your influence and build a positive team culture. Through our courses, workshops, live Q&A sessions, and more, you'll gain the skills and confidence you need to lead effectively. And with our supportive community of like-valued leaders, you'll never feel like you're doing it alone. Visit leadershipvisionconsulting.com/community to learn more. So today, we're doing a deep dive into each of those four words. We'll offer some keys as to how you might identify or evaluate the role that they play both in your own life and the life of your team. We'll also be talking about the role that strengths do play in relation to those four words, and how to make sure that someone is in the best position to succeed. So keep listening. Let's start at the top and talk about context. Here's Brian.
Mm-hmm. StrengthsFinder does not indicate the shaping influence of context. We do not understand a person's context within which they were raised. We don't necessarily understand their current context. And what I'm asking for us here is that when we are looking at someone's strengths profiles, we're helping someone integrate within a team. What I'm asking is that we are inclined to ask specific questions about someone's past context. Where did you come from? What kind of family system were you raised in? Did you move around a lot? And within that context, we will have some understanding of how their past has shaped who they are today. And if we have a better understanding of the context within which someone has been raised, then we may have a clear indication of what type of context a person's strengths might show up best in and with what types of people. One of the assumptions that we cannot make is that strengths are going to be as generative or applicable within a variety of contexts. At Leadership Vision, there's a phrase that we use consistently, and that is, context has a shaping influence on how strengths show up. You have a person that may be highly affected within a very specific context. You shift them to a different type of context, different work experience, a different neighborhood, a different job, and that context will have a shaping influence on how that person feels that they can form relationships, how that person feels that they're going to have an impact or an effect on their culture. We just do not know. And so it's important to understand past context. It's also important to understand the current context within which someone is living, within which someone is working, to help us understand how their strengths can be better engaged. Or sometimes there's a case where you may meet someone where you just have to scratch your head and think, how can your strengths be useful in this context? Because the context and who you are as a person doesn't necessarily fit.
So how do we figure that out? How do we understand someone's context, where they're coming from? Do you have maybe go-to questions that you ask in a one-to-one? Is it more a case-by-case basis? Like, how do I figure that out?
When we're having conversations with someone, there is a certain approach that we are taking. And one of the ways that we're addressing context is we are thinking of the arcs of cognitive development. So if you think about how a person is developing, you have early childhood, you have pre-adolescence, you have adolescence, you have post-adolescence, and a lot of the research out today is talking about how adolescence extends from maybe 13, 14-year-olds to like 23, 24-year-olds. So you ask yourself, within these contexts, the arcs of cognitive development, what was happening in those contexts? Now, we're assuming that someone's over 24 years old. So when you then think about someone in their 30s or 40s, what contexts have they been in their life, personally, relationally, socially, and professionally? Think about those four areas of context.
Because personally, relationally, socially, professionally.
Each of those contexts is going to be a shaping influencer on how you are going to best show up. It's going to give us the indication. If you come from a small family or a large family, what kind of relational network do you currently have? Are you socially engaged in anything outside of work? How much is your professional context shaping who you really are? We oftentimes in our one-to-one conversations find that there are people that are speaking about some sense of imbalance within these different contexts. I think it's important for us to be mindful of this, because people will say this, well, what about my strengths at work? Are my strengths at work different than my strengths at home? We are saying, your strengths are showing up in every context. Strengths don't change with context. Context changes.
So are you suggesting then that people, I'm just going to use maximizer, shows up differently in relational as it does in social, as it does in work? Or is it that because those contexts are changing, the value placed on how that shows up or the receptivity to it is different?
Yes to all that.
Okay.
Yeah, that may sound, yes, but that is true. We are saying that Maximizer is going to be present in each one of these different contexts. And our question is then, how does that Maximizer show up in this context? It has become very clear to us that for some individual with the strength of Maximizer, that their professional context may rely a lot on that person to bring that to their work environment. Whereas their social context may not require them to show up with this super highly charged strength of maximizer. Does that mean that that strength went away? Nope. That may mean that some other strength may now be enabled within that other context. Context has a shaping influence. And I think it's so important for us to begin to determine context and then understand how strengths are showing up in the context instead of the other way around. Deductive application of strengths is saying that you are applying each of your strengths the same regardless of context. And I'm saying the exact opposite. Consider context, then consider how your strengths show up then.
So the second thing here that StrengthsFinder can't tell us is about your culture. Why is someone's culture important to understand, and how does that differ than someone's context?
Culture brings with it reinforcing values that are pre-existent to your showing up to that culture. And StrengthsFinder does not provide for us any indication on the reinforcing values of culture. We have done work in dozens of countries. Each of these countries and regions within countries have a different set of cultural values. And what we have seen is that those cultural values are going to also influence how a person's strengths may show up. There are multiple studies that are indicating what specific values some cultures have. And when you think about that effect on strength, there are going to be cultures that may be very welcoming of the strength of deliberative. There may be other cultures that are very open and receptive and promoting of the strength of harmony. So that doesn't say that there's going to be less deliberative or more harmony. It's going to say, how is it that you are going to be living and responding within a culture where the values are having an influence on whether or not people are going to quickly understand and accept and promote who you are as a person, or whether that culture, based on its values and the way that people interact with each other, may be more reluctant, questioning, and doubtful of how your strengths may be generally applicable within that specific culture. Culture is also organizational, and we have seen the exact same philosophy that's true within national cultures and socioeconomic cultures be essentially true within organizational culture. Each organizational culture may have a set of values that are predetermined prior to your showing up, and the same principle applies. How is that culture going to be receptive to the way your strength is generatively applied? Some people be great fits for that culture, and others may not.
I think it's really important for us to figure out how do my strengths show up when these cultural values are in place?
I think what I'm asking is that people are aware that they are fitting into a pre-existing set of cultural values. We, using our strength-based approach, are aware of maybe how our strengths show up. But before we can be truly effective within a culture, we need to also begin to think about how is this culture set up? What are the values of the culture? And what are those pre-existing norms in that culture that my strengths respectfully fit into that culture? I was just in a culture where, this may sound funny, but people didn't cross the street until they had the walk sign.
Where was that?
It was, we'll leave the culture unknown at the moment, or unnamed.
That's funny.
But I think I've grown up in cultures where if the traffic isn't coming, you can freely cross the street. No one's going to look twice. But in this culture, that was a value where you really do wait until that light is fully turned before you cross the street.
Sure. Yeah.
It was also a culture where once that light was set, you could do the X-shaped crossing of the intersection as well. But that's an awareness of kind of what I'm talking about.
Well, I think bringing it home here, one of our cultural values is fun. We joke around with each other. We try to have a good time. There's some gentle ribbing of one another. I've been in other cultures, other work settings where that's not okay. I think some of my strengths lend themselves very well to what we have created here. How do you help people understand how their strengths might show up in a culture unless they've experienced it? You know, I think of the idea of some people are very okay with disagreement and arguing. You can look at strengths that might be okay with maybe having a stronger, bolder opinion on things, and others are not. Is there any sort of insight you can share that will say this is how you can help identify maybe cultures that your strengths might work well in, or strengths or areas where your strengths maybe aren't a great fit.
One of the things that I would ask when we are addressing the reinforcing values of culture is, how do you name them? I think that the values of culture are patterns and preferences that are somewhat recognizable once you begin to pay attention. And those could be patterns and preferences of the way people relate, the way people communicate, what time that they show up, how is it that they go about doing their business day to day. Those are patterns and preferences that can be identified and perhaps named. Then asking yourself the question, how then do my strengths best fit into this culture? And knowing that culture will be having a greater shaping influence on you than you will probably have on the pre-existing values of that culture.
That's very true.
Then you have to decide whether that culture is a place that you can truly feel that you're not only engaged, but that you're productively applying yourself socially, relationally, and professionally. That's a balance. Like, that's a state of finding some place where there's an equilibrium or a harmony, you could say, of how it is that you're fitting into that culture.
And I think that it's important to note at this point as well that this is an ongoing struggle. Like, you're never going to find a perfect culture for you. But I think sometimes you have to ask yourself, are you able to show up in ways that you like more often than not? And maybe that's good enough. The third one here is the idea of character. We have no idea what your character is like. That idea of, you know, the holistic integrity of your person. Are you the kind of person who is using your strengths for good and not evil? So why doesn't strengths tell us anything about character?
Because you just don't know the characterological balance within a person. That characterological balance will be displayed through their behavior, through their conversations, through their work ethic. You can kind of go down the list of that. Strengths, again, will indicate to us how a person might show up, but it doesn't speak at all to what type of individual this person is in that context. And what I'm asking is a display of a person's integrity within multiple contexts, not just showing up in one place and being one kind of person. A person can be acting one way when they're with a certain group of people, and then a completely different way with another group of people. And I would say that there is a lack of integrity to one's character if you're showing up differently in each of those places. People would like for StrengthsFinder to give us some indication of a person's character or a person's stability, whether they're able to do right or wrong. I've heard many people question a person's character because they have very specific strengths, where an individual will determine that that person can't be humble, let's say, because they have the strength of, and you can just fill in the blank. Mm. I've seen that happen over and over again. And there was a conversation I was involved in with a group of people, and that deduction was being made. Like, how can that person be a person of integrity if this is their motivation? So they were questioning not just the strength itself and how that strength can have characterological integrity, but that led them to question that person's motivation. And I just stood there and said, how can you make that determination on a person's character just by the name of one of the strengths? So that, as you can imagine, evolved into a very interesting conversation from that point forward, but it reinforced this point. StrengthsFinder does not give us an indication to the holistic integrity of one's character, but it can help us understand how they may be a person that displays character in very unique and distinct ways. I also think that that's part of the challenge here is each one of us bring a pre-existing understanding or framework on what we think is good character and not so good character. And what I'm asking is that we may step back a little bit and look at a person's strengths profile and ask, how is this strengths profile going to display a person of integrity? It may completely open up a whole new understanding for us on what character might look like if we're open to that.
Well, do you think that character then is something that we should be evaluating? That, you know, because it's hard to do. How do you evaluate the holistic integrity of a person? Is that something that we as mortals can do? Is that something that, you know, as you're trying to form a team, that you can cast judgment on someone's character? How do you even begin to do that as you are trying to figure out, you know, maybe placement on a team or in subgroups or whatever it is? Or what is the measure that you can make on someone's character?
the reason why character is on this list is because I have experienced more times than I want to admit people making characterological judgments on someone just because of their strengths. My response to that is, how do you know? How can you use a word that you may have just been introduced to and make a characterological judgment on someone just from that? Because as you're hinting to, Nathan, character is determined over a period of time. Character can...
In various contexts, in various cultural settings.
Yep. In relationships, in ability for someone to be trusted and given even the opportunity to display character. I think that we have a propensity to want to name behaviors quickly. We want the freedom to deduce fast whether a person is good or not. And I have seen strengths be used as a tool to make characterological deductions about someone. And I just think that's just so unfair.
I completely agree. And one of the reasons why I was excited when we were brainstorming topics about this one in particular is because I think sometimes StrengthsFinder gets used in the wrong ways for the wrong things. And it's a tremendous tool. It can do a lot, but it can't do some of the things that I believe people are trying to do with it. It's inconsistent in that regard, if you will, which brings us to our fourth C, which is consistency. You know, you talk about how does somebody show up in different contexts on a regular basis, bringing their strengths, not just their themes. You know, you talk about how it's not a strength until it produces near perfect performance over and over and over again.
So before we go any further with this, we're not talking about the strength of consistency.
That is a good thing to clarify, yes.
We are talking about consistency. Meaning the reliability, the way that a strength shows up in a generative aspect over and over and over again. And one of the things I just want to emphasize is consistency is a key indicator on how quickly one can develop relational trust with someone, no matter what it is. This is not about strengths anymore. This is about, you know, doing what you say you're going to do, being a trusted friend, being a partner within business. And that consistency is necessary for there to be relational trust built between people. And I'm also saying that for strengths to be truly generative, there needs to have this element of consistency applied to it. Potential in strength can only grow through a consistency in opportunities to grow strength. The reliability of someone's strength within a particular culture or context will only grow when given a consistent opportunity for us to lean into that. And one of the things that I'm asking is for us to kind of give this freedom that a strength may come to us fully cooked, or a strength may come to us really raw, but we don't know how effective that person's going to be unless there's a consistent opportunity for not only that strength to be integrated, but for that strength to be cultivated, developed, and grown over a period of time. And this, again, is why we have this word on this list, is I have experienced people that have not been given a chance to consistently show that this strength can grow, that this strength is productive, that this strength can be relationally applied, and overall be trusted no matter what the challenge is in front of them. And that, to me, I think is something that we need to provide people, is an opportunity to consistently apply their strengths within a variety of contexts, whether it's relational, professional, social, or emotional.
Do you think this word, consistency, of the four C's, is the one that we have the most control over? And what I mean by that is you really can't control your context, right? You're maybe born into it, or you're in a job setting, you maybe can't control that. Your culture, your character in some ways is what you're working towards, but your consistency, the hard work, the way that you show up, the way that you admit your mistakes, learn from them.
You're right, because context is the place we find ourselves in. Culture are reinforcing values that exist around us. Character is something that is grown over time, but consistency is going to be applicable to all three of those things. And we really do have the ability to control one's ability to be consistent or to show up consistently. And that's where I feel that many people are really cut off from ever truly engaging, or cut off from ever having the opportunity to be engaged or to be relationally sound, because others have cut off the ability to be consistent and to show up repetitively over and over again so that you can continue to practice some of the fundamental principles of what it means to show up on a team or what it means to grow into a relationship, because we have been cut off. So the consistency has been taken from us. So when we talk about the essence of being a team member, part of providing a great team culture is providing people with the opportunity to be consistent in who they are as a person and how they are functioning as a productive member of the team.
Yeah, I think of, you know, you and I are both runners. And when you figure out how do you become a better runner, the classic answer is just consistency. You just have to do it over and over again. And I think how that applies to this is you can only control what you control. And so how do you consistently show up? How do you work hard? How do you pay attention to your strengths, how they are engaged or disengaged, and do something about it? I think it's really hard to do. I think it takes a lot of time and practice. And how would you advise people?
Consistency has several different factors to it, several different facets. One of the things I want to point out is that there could be the need for consistency in correcting and growing people's behavior. And that may seem like it's negative for a long period of time, but you are providing the consistency, like gentle moves over a longer period of time for someone to truly maybe turn that corner. It's a very long and slow turn. Others, it's consistency in providing an opportunity so that they may get to that, what you mentioned earlier, that near perfect performance again and again and again. If we truly want people to believe in themselves, to trust who they are as individuals, and to have that sense of courage to be more of who they are, we have to consistently give them the chance to do that. And strengths can be a great way to inform us on what that person might need, but strengths do not tell us how consistently we need to provide someone the opportunity for growth and engagement. That is determined by someone's context, the cultural values that are kind of pressing in or propping up who that person is, and their characterological stability. So all four of these things, although we've looked at them sequentially, I see all four of these things as working together and providing a necessary framework or maybe an outline of how we can provide the best opportunity for people to be who they are with the team members that they find themselves with.
So something that comes to mind here is this idea of fit. And maybe you're in a situation where it's a bad fit. You're trying to, you know, cram a square peg into a round hole, so to speak. Other times, maybe it's just this situation where you need to shave some edges off, or you need to change and morph and not change who you are, but through this refining process, become a better fit through some of this consistent character work, perhaps.
We are assuming that strengths are going to tell us context, culture, character, and consistency. What I'm saying is that the difficult work comes in welcoming someone into your context and then understanding that we still have several things that are open. Is this the right context? Is this the right culture? Do they have the right character? And are we giving them the chance for consistency? Right now, we're currently working with a client, and this gentleman has a deep passion for organizational leadership programs. And one of the things that he's doing in this leadership program is not just identifying who the best interns are, not just investing in who the next generation of leaders are, not giving performance opportunities to high-performing leaders. It's not just that. He's asking these questions. Is this the right corporate context for this individual? Are the values and work practices of this culture the best fit for that person? Do they reflect our core characterological values over and over and over again? And are we giving them chances to prove that? He's asking much greater questions. And so he's saying, if I can understand if this is the right context, culture, this person has the right character and that's displayed consistently over time, if this is the right place for them, then come on in. But if they can go through like a 6 or 9 month process where they're consistently given the opportunities to show this, and it turns out that they're not a great fit for the context, they're not a great match for the culture, their character may not be in alignment with the characterological expectation of the organization, then this is not the right place for them. And that's what I'm saying is, let's give people a chance to show us what they can do, and also a chance to reveal that this may not be the best place for me. How many people do we know that have like overstayed their welcome because someone hasn't been able to say, this is not the place where you are in a best fit? And it may not necessarily be their fault at all. It's just that we are not in a place where we're cultivating opportunities for them to truly perform, to truly shine.
I think the responsibility there, well, it's twofold. There's a courageousness that needs to happen on both maybe the person evaluating and the person being evaluated about, like you just said, this might not be the best place, the best fit, the best whatever, but how do we openly work towards that, give you a fair chance, and we don't use StrengthsFinder to disqualify or assume any of these things?
Yes, so when we think about this idea of character, I also want to indicate that there are times when a person will find themselves in a culture where they're having to make compromises on their personal character, and it isn't necessarily their fault, if you understand what I'm saying. That there may be an organizational culture that just does things a certain way, they make certain kinds of decisions, and a person then finds themselves in a place where they're having to compromise on some of the integrity of their character as a byproduct of the culture that they're in. Strengths can help us understand why that may be happening. But then again, character has a unique way of providing an opportunity to weed yourself out sometimes from a situation where you're realizing that I don't believe that. I don't think that way. I don't look at people in that distinctive. I can't be here because it's a compromise of my integrity. So there is an element of personal responsibility with context, culture, character, and consistency that we must be mindful of. It's not all the responsibility of the people on a team or the people of the culture to be the leading indicator of whether it's a right fit for someone or not. That's also part of the responsibility of the individual. When you look at having a caring and compassionate advocate of people within an organization and how they can have productive and constructive conversations with individuals, you put those two things together and then you have a dynamic that can really help you understand, is this the right place for me or not? All I'm asking in this conversation is that we as individuals be mindful that strengths aren't providing all the answers, but that we're also understanding that a way that we can help a person feel at home, feel that they're part of a team, that they're a valuable contributor to the organizational culture, is by keeping in mind that context, culture, character, and consistency are additional questions and additional perspectives that need to be brought into the strengths-based conversation.
Absolutely. Strengths can't be used as a scapegoat for any of these things. And really, we're talking about organizational health here, which is a conversation for a different day. But StrengthsFinder is a great tool for maybe beginning to set that up. But I think what we've well said already here is there's a lot more to it and a lot of other things that we need to pay attention to. So until next time.
Until next time.
Thank you, Brian, for helping us better understand the four things that inform us about who a person is and for the insight into how their strengths might show up and be productive on a team. We hope you're able to reflect a bit about your own context, culture, character, and consistency as you think about the impact you are making on your own team. Thank you for listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, where we share our expertise in the discovery, practice and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. If you found value from this episode, we'd appreciate it if you would subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and a host of others. Please share this podcast and our other resources with anyone you think would benefit from going deeper into our strengths-based approach to individual, team, and organizational development. I'm Nathan Freeberg, and on behalf of our entire team, thanks for listening.